We're joined now by State Senator Katrina Jackson from the great hamlet of Monroe, and she is at the Capitol, and we're privileged. She stepped out of a meeting with the governor to be with us. And Senator Jackson, good to hear your voice.
Thank you for having me. He's looking at me sideways, Jim, as I'm walking out, so I'm going to tell him it was you.
Well, it was you. I don't know if that'll win you any brownie points, but hey, thanks.
But listen, he's very supportive of this amendment, so when he hears I stepped out to deal with this amendment, he'll be okay with it, of course, Amendment number one.
Yeah, well, he is a pro-life Democrat, as are you. And the ballot language is, do you support an amendment declaring that to protect human life, a right to abortion and the funding of abortion shall not be found in the Louisiana Constitution? So why is this amendment needed, in your view?
Let me tell you, it is extremely needed. Let's just get to the nitty-gritty. Of course, we cannot rule whether abortion is legal or not. But what happened in Kansas and two other states is the reason why this language is very much needed. Their constitutions were silent on abortion, just like ours is, right? So although the state Supreme Courts couldn't determine whether abortion was legal, what they did was say, well, since our constitution is silent, we believe the government should take taxpayer health care money and fund individual abortion. That happened in Kansas and two other states in the last 2 years. So since Louisiana constitution is silent, this amendment is needed, and its language to ensure that no state court or federal court can recognize a right to an abortion, i.e. a government-funded abortion in Louisiana. Nope. If this amendment doesn't pass, we'll be like Kansas if a court ever rules, and our health care dollars that taxpayers pay for their hospitals and everything will go to fund individual abortion.
This was passed in 2019, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Why was it delayed until this year to be on the ballot?
Get that all the time, because I believe that constitutional amendments are best passed when as many constituents as possible can vote on them. When we look at election trends, what we find is we have the highest turnout of Louisiana voters during presidential elections.
Well, this is true, and in 20 days this will be on the ballot. And this is a pro-life state based on views of the electorate, and it'll be fascinating to see what the percentage is, but it is expected to pass. A listener asked about your thoughts regarding the Supreme Court nominee of President Trump, Amy Coney Barrett of New Orleans, who, like you, has expressed her opinion before she became a nominee that Roe v. Wade was not so good. Do you think she's a good choice by the president to be on the high court?
I've been very public about this. This is what I think. I haven't formulated a full opinion on her, whether she will be a good choice. I'm listening to the Senate hearings, as many others, I've encouraged my constituents to listen regardless of who appointed her or what they believe about the president. To the extent that she's from Louisiana, of course, I'm overjoyed to see a Louisiana native have an opportunity to be appointed to the Supreme Court. But as she said, she cannot interject her personal views on the court. So I would like the listeners to know that we never know how a person is going to rule on pro-life issues once they reach the Supreme Court. We saw that in Justice Roberts' opinion in our recent case in March, that he ruled against it. Although he believed that Roe versus Wade should be overturned, he believed more in the presidents of the court and upholding the court's previous decisions. So I want to kind of put a nail there, a pin there, so people understand that. I do have a concern, and I'm very transparent, as you know, Jim, about her previous stances on the Affordable Health Care Act and some other issues. However, where she really resonates with me is that as a working mother, as a wife, she has adopted two additional children. She fits the mold of being, although feminists are attacking her, a true feminist. And so to me, that is a awesome thing. And so there she gains great points with me. I am undecided on my final position on her, but I am listening to the hearings very closely. I look at her previous decisions, and they did not allow me a great opportunity to formulate what she would be on issues, but I am listening to our hearings to make that decision.
Here's another one, and I think we got this question last time, but it has been a while since we visited with the senator. Biden or Trump, your thoughts? Who's your choice?
I haven't formally endorsed anyone yet. I am leaning toward Biden, and I'm just very transparent in that. because there are major issues. I am a pro-life Democrat, which means I believe in the whole life aspect of it, which means I believe in caring for life from inception to death. Neither of the candidates line up with my beliefs on life at all. So this is a very hard election, and I have not put out any formal ballot. I'm sure I will this week, and I'm still pondering what I will do on that. I have put out formal ballots in my local races, and not even in the congressional races, because this is seems to be somewhat of a difficult election when you don't agree either candidate on their life issues.
All right. Now, a listener asked about Kamala Harris being the running mate of Joe Biden. This is a historic a black person on the ticket, a woman as vice president, potentially, and now the favorite to be the vice president. Does that in any way persuade you?
Oh, Kamala is my sorority sister, so of course we share a kindred. She's not only my sorority sister, she's my link sister, which is a national volunteer organization. So, of course, I'm impressed with her credentials and what she's been able to do. And, yeah, it does sway you some of a bit, not only because she's an African-American, because she's well accomplished as a female.
All right. We're going to spend a few more minutes with State Senator Katrina Jackson. 877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. We're back after this pause for the news. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. In just a few moments, we will hear from a gentleman with a compelling book about Nike, Matt Hart. His book is Win at All Costs. We are spending a few more minutes with Katrina Jackson, state senator from Monroe and the author of Amendment 1, which is on the ballot on November the 3rd, 20 days from now. And let's go to Dan downtown, who's been waiting patiently. Dan, you're on with Senator Jackson. Hi, Dan.
Hi, yes, Senator. Do you have any concern that any judge that's recommended to Trump by the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation will be a slam dunk for corporate America and against working people? And
all right. What about the quality of judges and their corporate leanings, according to Dan downtown? Senator Jackson?
What I try to do is give each judge an opportunity to go through the Senate hearings before I form an opinion about them. Of course, initially, when President Trump recommends anyone, it is a concern that they'll lean more toward corporations and not the working people. However, you just have to view each of them separately. I think that regardless of who appoints justices to the Supreme Court, the true test of who they are comes out in the Senate hearings. And so I try not to totally prejudge someone because a president recommended them. It's just like if President Trump would have selected me, which probably would happen. But if he did, I would want an opportunity to be heard in my Senate hearing.
Now, the president, of course, has appointed a lot of federal judges. And according to Kamala Harris the other night in the vice presidential debate, no people of color, over 50 judges and Supreme Court justices, no people of color. That's not America. Do you have any concerns about that?
Oh, yeah, most definitely have concerns. That's solid facts. That's not based on, you know, a judge's character. That's based on President Trump not having the wherewithal to promote diversity. We've seen it in his speeches. We've seen it in his inability to really just speak very clearly on white supremacists. And so, yes, his inability to appoint diverse judges, his inability to promote diversity in any area has become a growing concern, and I think that's why minorities overwhelmingly do not support President Trump.
All right. Lastly, a question from a listener. This is Iken Gonzalez. What about Amendment 5, which if you're going down your list, there's a lot of discussion on this. We've had several guests, including General Honore, who's against it, but do you mm-hmm. support an amendment to authorize local governments to enter into cooperative ad valorem tax exemption agreements with new or expanding manufacturing establishments for payments in lieu of taxes? That's how it's worded. What do you think?
I was originally against it, but taking further look at it and talking to my locals, because I know that we have to promote business development, I am for it. I think we have, and I understand General Honore's concerns, but I've looked at the laws that we have in place regarding pollution and what type of manufacturing companies and what the rules will be for them with the departments of environmental department. So I'm okay with it now. Now, it's not, wouldn't be my first choice, but I don't want to hinder business development. I don't think it belongs originally in the Constitution, but at this point, an overwhelming constituency is supportive of it, as our locals are supportive of it. So with our locals being supportive of it, I'm standing with it.
Sabash at the Country Club, you'll be our final caller for Senator Jackson. Sabash, you're on the air with Senator Katrina Jackson.
Good morning to you both. Since the senator is a pro-life Democrat, and if she is appointed to the Supreme Court, will she rule against the Roe versus Wade or for the Roe versus Wade?
All right. If you were a justice, would you vote to shut down Roe v. Wade?
I've been very clear on my position with Roe versus Wade, but I think what America has to understand is once you're appointed as a judge, you can't take your personal political beliefs in, so you rule on a case-by-case basis. You would have to wait to see what the circumstances are of the case was, and those are ever-changing. So I couldn't say what I would stand and do as a justice of the Supreme Court. I don't think any judicial nominee should, because then you're not unbiased in looking at the law and the cases on a case-by-case basis.
Senator Jackson, always good to talk with you. We'll be calling again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Appreciate you. Take care.